just in general, making changes can be really challenging. Have grace for yourself. Take it a little step at a time. Choose a goal again that just feels so easy, so doable, and do it. And then when you feel successful with that, you can move on to the next thing.
Life is complicated, but getting healthy doesn't have to be. Welcome to Enlow Health's podcast, Health Matters. I'm Sharon Martin.
And I'm Daniela Contreras.
Listen to experts and everyday people share real stories and resources to improve our health and well-being. A new year often brings a clean slate, a chance to start fresh. It's why many people use this time of the year to make changes for a healthier lifestyle. Joining us today is Buck August, Enlow Health's registered dietitian and diabetes specialist. Buck will share some tips on how to make changes to our lifestyle and eating habits. So thank you, Buck, for being here today.
It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, so let's get started. So it can be really challenging to completely shift a lifestyle. What are some easy things to change that can kind of help people get started?
I always encourage people to start with what they think is going to be the easiest, not with something they think is going to be really hard or maybe have the most impact. So it could be something as simple as I'm going to add a serving of vegetables to dinner, or I'm going to go for a 5-minute walk. So pick something that feels almost too easy. A good way to check is to ask yourself on a scale of 0 to 10, 0, this is not going to happen, up to 10, I'm positive. You want to be like a 9 or 10, like I am super sure that I can make this change.
Oh, that's a good way to think about it. Does getting healthy always have to involve watching the scale?
Absolutely not. And I actually encourage people not to too much. Definitely, I'm not a fan of weighing every day, maybe once a week. What I like to focus on instead are the behaviors. So making healthy changes to what you're eating, adding activity, and focusing on like that process. And then oftentimes the scale will follow. But if we just focus on the scale, that oftentimes messes people up because they get so focused on the numbers and one day the weight's higher and then it's like, oh, this isn't working. And then you just totally give up.
I have a follow-up question to that.
Yes.
Is there like, can weight really fluctuate?
Big time.
You know, based on what you eat every day or something?
Absolutely. Yeah. Depending on what you ate the day before, like say you had a really salty meal, you might retain a little bit extra fluid. So your weight might be up 1 pound or 2 pounds overnight. A lot of other factors that come into play. Weight really has a tendency to fluctuate. So you have to look at it over the course of time. And again, that's why oftentimes focusing on those other things is better so you don't get so caught up on the numbers.
That makes sense.
Nice. And it also sounds like what you're saying is like maybe at the beginning, in terms of lifestyle changes, we don't want to overachieve. We don't want to say like go 5 days to the gym every single day. Like maybe we should start slow with like a 5-minute walk.
100%. Yeah. Because oftentimes we'll set those big lofty goals because it's like, oh, this is going to get me where I want to be. I want to be there now. I want to be there yesterday. And that just sets you up for failure because it's so hard to make those changes and stick to them. So yeah, scale it back. Pick something easy, something you're confident you can do.
Nice. And how about like not drinking enough water? Is that, we hear that all the time and I see people walking with their water bottles, but how true is it that it impacts how much water we drink?
So it makes a big difference if you're getting enough water. A lot of people, like if they don't get enough water, they might have some symptoms like a headache or they might not have as much energy. If you drink enough water, oftentimes you feel better. You maybe feel like you have a little more energy. And the amount can vary, maybe 64 ounces. Oftentimes we'll say take half your weight in pounds. So if I weigh 180, I shoot for 90 ounces or maybe somewhere in between. If you're not drinking very much water, just increase it a little bit. Add a glass a day and then see how you feel.
That's so interesting because I don't think that I drink enough water, but then I'm like, I don't feel thirsty and TMI, but my pee comes out like the color that's quote unquote supposed to be. So I'm like, okay. So I guess I'm not dehydrated, but I am constantly with headaches and tired. So like, I have no idea what's going on.
It might be worth trying to drink some more water just to see if you feel better.
I had a friend who never drank water, like never, ever drank water. And then he started drinking water. Uh-huh. And he said he felt like night and day.
Yeah.
Like he didn't even realize he was feeling bad until he started drinking water.
His cells are like, thank you, finally.
Yes, finally hydration.
Yeah.
But on the other side, is there drinking too much water? Because that's also problematic.
It can be. It's tricky, especially if you're not drinking very much water. One thing you might notice when you really increase your water intake is that, yes, you're going to have to go pee a lot more. So, yes. So that's one thing for sure. It can only really be dangerous if you like all of a sudden, like you weren't drinking any water and then you just start drinking like gallons of water, because it can actually dilute the sodium in your blood and that can be dangerous. So you don't want to all of a sudden just say, oh, I'm going to, you know, drink, like I say, a couple gallons of water a day, just gradually, just like we were talking about before. Gradual changes, right. One little baby step at a time.
That makes so much sense. Yeah, like shocking the system is never going to be a good idea.
No.
I think people want to like immediately like overachieve.
Yes.
Is that's the goal?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm going to go above and beyond and then the wheels fall off.
Mm-hmm. And then it's too hard to adjust. It's too hard to sustain.
Exactly.
What foods would you consider unhealthy?
So I always like to reframe it. I don't say they're unhealthy. I just say they're sometimes foods. So there's anytime foods. So what do you think are some anytime foods?
I don't know. Chicken and rice.
Sure.
Oh, anytime as in like frequently?
Yeah, like it's good to eat these anytime.
Oh, well, like vegetables.
100%. Vegetables, fruits, you know, those types of things. Those are our anytime foods. And then what are some of the sometimes foods?
Probably donuts. Like, yeah. Donuts are very unhealthy.
Yeah. Well, we're not calling them unhealthy. They're just sometimes.
Sometimes foods. Candies.
Exactly. So those are our sometimes foods. So I like to frame it that way because it kind of takes the morality out of it. Because sometimes it's like, oh, I'm bad if I eat donuts, or this is a bad food for me. And that can kind of mess with our relationship with food. So I say that they're sometimes foods. Great to enjoy them sometimes. Like, you know, holidays come up. We go through this holiday season. We're eating all sorts of treats and stuff there. But we don't do it all the time. We just do it sometimes.
But also, what about how you cook it? Because, like, quote unquote, chicken is an every time or every day. Uh-huh. But if you fry it.
That is a great point. I like your thinking there. So the preparation definitely matters. Mm-hmm. I love to go to Japanese food. And I'm always like, oh, tempura vegetables. I'm getting my vegetables. But then in the back of my mind, I'm like, wait, this is more of a sometimes food. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the preparation definitely matters. Deep fried is something we want to do just once in a while. But if you like cook something, this comes up a lot. Actually, people say, well, I cooked it in a pan with olive oil. So is that fried? And I don't consider that fried. That's like, sometimes we'll say it's like sauteed.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. And then it's a wholesome fat, like the olive oil. So that's fine.
Oh, okay. Very interesting. So now sugar and sweets, you kind of touched on this a little bit. Mm-hmm. Should they be completely eliminated from an everyday diet?
I don't think so. And if you look at like the food labels, they actually have a recommendation on there for how much added sugar. That's actually 50 grams a day, which is quite a bit of added sugar. It's 200 calories because they say keep it to 10% of your total calories. So if you're only eating 1500 calories a day, then you'd have to decrease it down. There's another set of recommendations, though, from like the World Health Organization, the American Heart Association, and that's more like 25 to 36 grams of added sugar a day, which is still quite a bit. So it's fine to have some. So some people, like, they drink coffee or they drink tea and they're like, I just need a little sugar in there. Fine. Or maybe you're going to have a cookie, you know, fine. You can definitely have some sugar. We just don't want to go overboard.
Wait, so when you say added sugar, would that be not including fruits?
Correct. Yeah. So that's a great point. So on the new food label, if you look at it, it's going to say there's total carbohydrates, there's the amount of sugar, and then below that, it's the amount of added sugar.
Got it.
So something like milk has sugar in it naturally, but it's not until you go to like chocolate milk to where you get added sugar in there. Okay. Or the same with fruit. So yeah, fruit, we don't count that as added sugar. That's the natural sugar.
Oh, great. Wow.
How much added sugar is like kind of hidden in things?
Oh, a ton. So when they released the new food labels where they started having to list it, it is shocking. Like, wow. It's frightening. So a couple good examples would be like Raisin Bran. We know there's some sugar in there because of the raisins, but then there's all this added sugar, or like certain dried fruits. So like raisins, typically they don't sweeten, but like dried cranberries, or Costco had these dried blueberries and I was like, oh, these look great. And then I flip it over and it had, I don't remember exactly, let's say it had like 18 grams of sugar per serving, but 9 of those were added sugar. So wow. there were heaps of sugar added to it.
So they're very sneaky.
Very sneaky.
Ketchup has a ton.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And barbecue sauce.
Barbecue sauce.
Oh my God.
Some spaghetti sauces, tomato soup, like wild. Tons of added sugar.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so sad. Yeah. Gotta read the label though.
That's right. That's right.
That's really a key I hear, like just learning how to read the label. Because when you started talking about math, I was like, my brain, math, like I need to like slow down.
Yeah, yeah. And it is easier now to look at the label because you can just look at how many grams of added sugar. And if you see something has like 20 grams of added sugar, maybe not the best choice, or at least not all the time.
I notice it sneaks up a lot in like oatmeal, because like you go and buy oatmeal and you think it's a healthy food. Yep. But then when you actually look into it, you're like, oh, my gosh, there's so much added sugar in this.
Totally.
No wonder it tastes so good.
Totally. Yeah. And then one other place that has shocked me over time looking at it are yogurts. So some yogurts, you know, yogurt, we think of, oh, that's pretty, you know, healthy, wholesome thing. But some of them have a lot of sugar added to them.
Wow.
Nice. Well, we'll keep an eye on the yogurt.
There we go.
How about like sodas? I love drinking soda, and I know I usually prefer zero sugar sodas. Are those a better option, or are they still not unhealthy, but sometimes foods?
Yeah, so they're probably still sometimes food regardless. It's not something I'm going to have every day. True confessions.
Oh, no.
I went to lunch today downtown, and I did have a diet, whatever it was, Coke, Pepsi, I don't know what it was. So I do that sometimes. And for me, if I'm going to have a soda, I do choose the diet one because I don't want all the added sugar. There's always been some controversy about the artificial sweeteners, or sometimes they're not artificial. They call them alternative sweeteners. Are those bad for us or good for us? If somebody has diabetes, choosing an alternative sweetener is a great idea. But just in general, if we're trying to get away from a lot of added sugar, if you know have certain health goals, it's probably a better idea for a lot of people to choose the zero or the diet versions of the drinks. In moderation, I think it's fine.
I may have had soda, zero sugar sodas every day at one point.
I have as well.
I think I'm on that trend right now. I'm trying to back off from it.
Yeah, same. I'm trying to just drink water and then make sodas be my treat.
There you go.
Even though they're Coke Zeros, but you know, they taste so good.
They
taste just like Coca-Cola.
Oh man, the Zero ones are amazing. It's really come a long way.
It really has. Science.
Yep.
Okay, so what about when we are in public? Because this happens a lot at our like desk jobs, our office, where we are like, yes, we're staying on track. We're eating healthy. We're eating our vegetables. And someone brings in some sort of treat. Mm-hmm. And you just want to say no, but you also want to be rude, but you're also kind of hungry because you're also kind of like, just, I need like a sugar boost. Mm-hmm. How do we handle what are some recommendations for people to handle those situations?
So there's a few different ways to come at it. So what I like to do and what I've kind of worked on myself over the years is to let myself if I want to. So years ago, if there were sweets around, I would eat it. I would eat a ton of it. If I didn't want it, I would eat it. If it tasted bad, I would eat it. And then if it was free, especially like going back into college, I would just eat it, you know, whatever was available. Didn't feel good sometimes afterwards. So for a while I said, no, I'm not going to do that at all. And then I've kind of landed in a middle ground. So in my office, some days there's donuts. Some days there's cookies, you know, Crumble or Cookie Shop or something like that. So there's all these different sweets that come around. I always take a look. I'm like, oh, what do we have today? I take a look. If I feel like it, if I'm feeling it, I'll have some. But a lot of days I just don't feel like it. And I, especially like with donuts, I do enjoy donuts, but I tend to not feel great afterwards. So a lot of times it's like today, it's just not worth it. But having given myself permission, I found that really helps me because then I don't have that same drive that I have to eat it.
I think that's super important. Yeah. Like just when things are prohibited, it just makes you want them more.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Feels like something you can't have, but now you can finally have it.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we tend to go overboard.
Those Crumble cookies, if you look at the nutritional facts of those, oh my God, they're a little scary.
Goodness gracious. And they're like, they call them 4 or 5 servings per cookie. Uh-huh. Like, they are big cookies, but wow. Yeah. There's a lot.
Yeah, they're a lot. When I read the nutritional facts of those, and that's when I was like, I'm not going to have those as often anymore when they come around the office.
Yeah, just sometimes.
Yeah. Or cut it up into like 4 or 8 pieces or whatever.
I think it's funny that they even like will sell you the cutter that cuts it into 4 pieces.
Oh my gosh. So trying to be healthy, whether it's through our eating choices or how much we exercise, can be mentally taxing. When can people say enough is enough and kind of stop stressing about it?
So if it's causing you a lot of stress, you're thinking about, oh, I'm trying to eat better. I'm trying to follow this diet and do all this exercise. If you're noticing that it's really causing you to be stressed or anxious, maybe pump the brakes. Take a step back and reevaluate. So maybe think about your goals. Did I set goals that are too high? Am I trying too hard? Am I making myself anxious by thinking about this all the time? And then if that's the case, maybe pick a different goal or pick a different thing to focus on. Or, you know, just throughout the year, throughout different seasons, so to speak, literally, and just the seasons of life, maybe it's time to refocus and pick something else that's not making you feel anxious. Because, yeah, it can be super stressful. Throughout the holidays can be really difficult. And then we get into the new year and it's like, okay, I'm going to be healthy. I'm going to stay on track all the time. But again, let's not go all or nothing. We're going to try to pick maybe a little bit of a middle ground and pick the things that you feel, okay, I'm ready to do right now.
Yeah, because when you're stressing over it, that's also making you not be healthy. It's also, you know, affecting you in other ways too.
100%. Yeah, stress is not good for our health in general.
Mm-hmm. But it's just so real too that, like, I don't know how it is for men, but for women, we are constantly bombarded with, like, what the ideal mm-hmm. beauty yeah. person looks like.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to constantly be thinking of, like, well, I don't look like that. And what mm-hmm. do I need to do to, like, what diets, what exercises, whatever.
Right.
To look like that. So it can be definitely, like, stressful.
Definitely. Yeah. And I feel like you're saying, in this day and age, like, whether it's social media or, you know, looking at watching things on TV or just seeing ads around. Yeah. There are these ideals that are unrealistic for most of us. And it can be really hard. So, yeah, you got to, again, reevaluate yeah. what's going on. What's practical for me? What can I focus on?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So we've gone over diet. Let's move on to being active and exercising. Mm-hmm. What are some easy ways people can start incorporating activity into their daily routine? You mentioned the, you know, quick 5-minute walks yes. earlier. So yeah, what are some other easy ways?
So whatever works for you, works for your schedule, what you have available to you. My wife and I recently picked up pickleball, which has been a blast.
It's a big trend.
Fun. It's a huge trend. We're out there jumping on that bandwagon, but it's really fun. And it's great exercise, especially when we just play each other. When you play with, you know, pairs, it's not quite as intense, which is maybe a good way to ease into it. Mm-hmm. So if you can find a sport, we also play rec volleyball. So one night a week, we go out and we play volleyball. So just whatever. Some people like to go dancing. Some people like to ride their bike. Some people get a piece of exercise equipment they can use at home. Just any way that you can make it fit into your life. In the winter, it can be challenging mm-hmm. when it's dark and cold and you don't want to go outside. So do something inside. Go on to YouTube and search for an exercise video. We also have all these, everything. I don't know why we get all this stuff, but we have an Oculus, like a VR thing, and you can do exercise with that. So yeah, whatever works. Just find something that sounds fun.
I didn't know an Oculus had an exercise thing.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of the Oculus fail videos online. So
yeah, that may have been me a time or two. Yeah.
How much physical activity should adults aim for?
What they say is about 150 minutes a week of a moderate intensity activity. So that's like a brisk walk or riding a bike. If you do more vigorous activity, it doesn't have to be quite as many minutes over the week. But if you think about it, 150 minutes, that means 30 minutes 5 days a week. So if most days of the week you're doing something for about 30 minutes, and that can be broken up 10 minutes at a time, 15 minutes at a time, that's the goal. It would be great to incorporate some sort of like strength or resistance training at least twice a week. So that could be bands, that could be weights, whatever's available. And it would be great to do a little something for like balance and flexibility as well.
Wow. It's not a lot, honestly.
Yeah, it's very doable if you can find things that you enjoy and find things that fit into your, you know, the kind of the rhythm of your life.
I have a question.
Yeah.
If someone was to like, say like cheat or have some of those sometimes feeds, yeah. is it reasonable or healthy to want to do more activity to kind of counter that? Is that logic like a good, is that a good logic to go by or?
So it can be tricky in a way, sure. And if you have a good like relationship with food and a relationship with exercise, yes, it can be fine. So you can say, or actually I had a client the other day who, this is a good example. They said they would go for a walk and at the end of their walk, they'd go to Jamba Juice. And it was, I was like, oh, that seems very reasonable. Jamba Juice, speaking of added sugar, it's got a little bit of added sugar. And then we also talked about maybe getting a small instead of a large. Mm-hmm. But sure, you know, if it's part of your routine, if you go and you work out and then you go grab, you know, a treat afterwards, sometimes food afterwards, I think that's fine. Where it can get a little squirrely sometimes is, and I can speak from personal experience, where I had a period in my life where I struggled like with an eating disorder really. And so like binging and different things. So I would eat way too much and then I would go and I would overly exercise afterwards to try to compensate for it. So that's kind of a spiral down that we don't want to get caught up in. But if it's more just a healthy way of looking at it, I went and I played pickleball for an hour and then we went and got, you know, a croissant or something afterwards. I think that's fine.
Nice.
And Buck, so many adults have, including us, jobs that require sitting for extended hours of the day.
Yeah.
What are some ways to incorporate activity into a long day of sitting?
Yeah. So this is a great one. I've really noticed that if I intentionally get up, let's just say every hour, and I walk around, around where we work is a nice place to go out and kind of walk around the campus, walk around the neighborhood, I feel a lot better. I tend to get really tight if I'm not getting up and moving. So some people will just set a timer every hour to remember to get up and move or to get up and stretch or whatever it may be. Maybe at lunchtime, you can go for a little bit longer walk or before or after work, do something. But just any way to kind of break it up to move so we're not just sitting there hunched over all the time. Yeah, it's good for our physical health, but it's also good for like our mental health. And I think for our productivity too, because if you're trying to, you know, 4 hours in a row, just power through some project, the quality tends to go downhill after a while.
Yeah, I know. And we are fortunate that we work at a place that encourages us to do that. But I can't imagine that there are most places that don't.
Oh, totally.
So at least doing it afterwards is
It helps for sure. It's always good to break it up throughout the day if you're able to, if you have break times, you have times you can. But if you can't, then definitely incorporating the activity outside of work hours.
It's the end of the year. For folks who may have achieved their health goals for 2023, what are some healthy ways to kind of celebrate those achievements? Because we, you know, we talk about doing the goals, but how do you celebrate that?
So funny, because a lot of times people are like, I did so great. Like they're, and especially like the classic mindset is, oh, I went on a diet and I lost weight, so I'm going to go out and get pizza to celebrate. It's like, okay, let's think about some other things. So I always like to think about like something that's going to help you to continue with healthy habits into the next year. So maybe that means getting new shoes if you've been walking or running. So you go and you get new running shoes or getting a new outfit. You know, in January still, it's cool outside. So maybe you get a nice, you know, jacket or something that's good for getting outside and being active. If you've been embracing like healthy eating habits, maybe get a new kitchen appliance or something that's going to help you to cook at home and make it easier to cook. Maybe get some new nice, I like that glass lock type of Tupperware. So it's easier to do your meal prep.
The snap lock.
Like the snap lock. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So things like that where it's like something that's fun, hopefully, or at least kind of fun. And then it's going to encourage you to continue to be healthy. Another thing is I tend to, I have a little home gym. And so I'll sometimes get new home gym equipment. That's always fun. I'm adding something to the gym. Again, it's encouraging me to stay active and it makes it fun.
That's great. Cause I think people like celebrating is like synonymous with like either like drinking alcohol or eating.
Yep.
Sometimes foods.
Yes, you got it.
Yeah. I almost said unhealthy.
That was good. Sometimes foods. You're getting it. We got this.
So switching that mindset to celebrating is more like getting yourself maybe like a new tool for your healthy lifestyle.
100%
is kind of a nice way to think about it.
Yeah.
I like that. Also, I like shopping. So
yeah,
I
was going to say
that. It can be hard to completely switch your lifestyle. Can you offer up any advice for people who may be a little discouraged or a little hesitant to kind of dive right in?
Totally. So I'm coming back to what we were talking about earlier. Just think about changes. Don't think about what seems like hard. Like if there's something, oh, I'm dreading changing what I'm eating. Don't, you know, do something else at first instead. Add a little bit of activity. Pick a very small goal. So small, like it seems ridiculously small, but that you are so sure that you can do, and then do that. So you're going to build on that success. After you do that for a few weeks or a month, you can pick another goal and you can add it in there. So we're just kind of, we're reframing, we're making it easy, and we're setting ourselves up for being successful.
Do you think it's worth writing down goals or like keeping a journal or something?
100%. Yeah. A lot of people like that. If they write it out, it helps with solidifying the goal, making it a little more concrete, and then also with the accountability. Some people will share it. You could share it with friends or family. You could share it. Some people will share it on social media, especially if they want some accountability. Like if I'm going to say I'm going to work on walking more often, throw it out there. And then also say, does anybody want to walk with me? So maybe you can find a buddy who can walk with you and can help. But yeah, writing it down, writing it on a calendar, setting yourself reminders, whatever helps.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And how about people who are experiencing, like you mentioned earlier, like eating disorders? When is a good telltale sign of seeking help? And if they decided to seek help, what's the first step to take?
Yeah, it can be hard and it can be tricky and it can look a lot of different ways. So sometimes eating disorders are like the classics where somebody just is really restricting what they're eating. that can be, it can start from like, oh, I was just counting calories and then it got out of control. And then I really started restricting my calories, overly restricting my calories. If you feel like it's getting out of control, that's a sign for sure. Sometimes people will get feedback from those around them, not just any like Joe Schmo off the, you know, street, but like if people who really care about you and know you start to get concerned, they start to say something and you're not thinking about it, that might be a, you know, warning sign. Like maybe I should think about this a little bit more. And then what to do, go see your doctor is probably the best first step. And then they maybe would make a referral. Oftentimes with things like eating disorders, there's a big psychological component to it. So seeing a counselor, especially somebody who's well-versed in eating disorders, can be really helpful too.
Oh, nice. So even mentioning it to your primary care could lead you to the right place.
100%. Yeah, just reaching out. Hopefully you have a good primary care physician that you're connected with and you feel like you can be open and honest with. And yeah, that can be a good starting point.
Nice. That's great to know. And then what about, we also discussed a lot of like just switching lifestyle in general for people who might be quote unquote healthy, but for people who are experiencing diabetes or pre-diabetes, would you recommend different things like a step beyond what we've mentioned throughout the podcast or basically the same?
Basically the same, honestly. Sometimes though, if somebody already has something like diabetes or pre-diabetes, they might have a more specific goal in mind. And so when people come in and see me, sometimes we'll have like a very specific thing we want to work on. And sometimes when somebody is dealing with something like diabetes, their motivation is really high to start with. And so sometimes the goal can be a little bigger, but they'll be confident that they can do it because they're like, no, I need to do this. And so when the motivation's there, sometimes we can take on bigger things and be successful.
Great.
That's great. Is there anything else that you'd like to add, Buck, that we didn't go over?
Just in general, making changes can be really challenging. Have grace for yourself. Take it a little step at a time. Choose a goal again that just feels so easy, so doable, and do it. And then when you feel successful with that, you can move on to the next thing and just take it step by step.
That's great.
Yeah, I love that. Have grace with ourselves.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Buck, for being here today.
It was my pleasure.
I know that was very helpful. I hope that people really listened to what you had to say today because it was very nice.
Awesome. Thank you.
If you have a story you'd like to share, let us know. Email us at healthmatters@enlo.org. Let us know your thoughts about our podcast and what you'd like us to explore. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening to Health Matters. If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe, give us a thumbs up, and share it with somebody who might benefit from it.